Dropout Podcasts.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Really?
Welcome to the Erotic Book Club, hosted by Jess Ross and Rekha Shankar. I am your host, Grant O'Brien.
And I'm Janie Stoller.
And we are neither Jess nor Rekha.
No.
But Janie and I are going to be taking you through this episode of the Erotic Book Club, where we will be talking about Sharing Samantha, a sexy little thing that we picked up on the internet that we are going to dive into right now with all you horny fuckers listening to this live to tape.
That's specifically the people on Discord. That's a little nickname for them.
Yeah. All you horny fuckers who use our Discord. There should be a chat on the Discord.
Just called horny fuckers.
Should there?
No, never mind.
I don't see what could possibly go wrong. We have two guest experts joining us today. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're experts in, and I don't know why I introduced them as such. But to my left is Vic Michaelis. How do I say your last name?
Michaelis. It's a weird one.
I've seen it written, and in my head, it's Michaelis, and I want you to know that.
Yeah, well, that's wrong, but I appreciate the effort.
That's all you're going to be able to get. And you, the audience, that's the most you could expect from me is an A for effort. And to the right is Zach Oyama.
It's Zach Michaelis.
I would have thought so. See, when I see that written, I say Michaelis in my head.
You're wrong.
Well, I'm used to that. And I also have my co-host, Janie Stoller. Hello,
Hello.
Janie.
Wow. Hi, everyone. We read some erotica.
Yes.
We really did.
I'm very glad to be hosting this with you because I feel like both of us are way down for erotica. And if it wasn't going to be Jess and Rekha, it probably would be the two of us.
100%.
So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm excited. This book really, wow. Oh my gosh. Should we get into it? Should we start?
Yeah.
So this book, basically, like the high level plot is that this gal, Samantha, is at her stepmom's Thanksgiving gathering and ends up just having a lot of sex with two best friends, right? Like that's sort
of. They have sex like 40 times in like a day.
They come a ton in the space of, I think, an hour and a half.
Her vagina must have not been feeling good by the end.
Well, that's just my question is, they at no point in like the 80, 90 pages of this book talk about anybody being sore. And
right.
I feel like that's unrealistic.
That's the only unrealistic thing about this book.
Yeah, that was my big beef.
Neither of those two best friends are like, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to go again.
Okay, give me a minute.
It's been like four times in rapid succession, and I'd love to.
Well, to be fair, we were told that they have heavy balls.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Yes, and so they are at stepmother's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Where none of them want to be.
No, and Samantha's super down on her luck. She's just like had a series of bad events happen to her.
She's super down on her luck.
I mean, woof. Like she lost her job. She's, you know, her house was condemned. Uh-huh. There's a lot going on, you know? She's struggling.
She caught her boyfriend cheating on her. And then he is 2 months later now engaged to that person.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
But I'm happy for them. Like, I'm happy they found each other.
Yeah,
you
that's
know
sort
I mean?
Of like the best sort of way to deal with someone wronging you is to like be happy for them. And I think that's important what you just said.
Yeah. I also just think, too, I mean, like they spend so much time setting up everything that's wrong with Samantha's life. And then she's like, but at least it's snowing outside. And then she continues after that to list a bunch more things that are going wrong.
Yeah,
in
but
her life.
At least, you know, we've still got snow.
Yeah, a little bit of snow outside.
I just didn't understand. So all of this takes place at her stepmother's Thanksgiving pre-Thanksgiving party?
Yeah, I think it's the night before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving.
Classic and Thanksgiving Eve scenario.
Yeah. And she seemingly invites anyone to this.
Right.
Yeah, so the characters that we have at this party, and presumably there are more than this, but here's who we know is there. The hostess of the party, Lynn, the stepmother, the matriarch. We have Lynn's stepdaughter, Samantha, our heroine. We have Matthew.
Martin, are you trying to
Martin,
say
yeah.
son?
Who's Lynn's son and Samantha's stepbrother. Then we have two guys that Martin is trying to buy an app from.
Well, they're trying to sell an algorithm to a hedge fund. This is like such a wild idea of why they're there. Like so I guess this Martin fellow runs a hedge fund. He's a real douche. And these two guys are there. They really want to sell this algorithm to him. So why would Lynn have them over? That bumped me. That bumped me. So
it bumped you that they had a pitch with him weeks later. So they went to a Thanksgiving party with his stepmother that was also dry.
But yeah, Lynn doesn't like booze.
Yeah, no booze at this party.
It repeated a lot that there's no alcohol at the party.
And not just go to the party, but spend the night at the
spend the night
at Lynn's house.
Do you think that that's because then in the moments where it's like when they're going at it, they're like they're going at this. Like, they know what they're doing. Like, they're not doing this because they're, like, drunk and messy. Like, they know what they're getting into.
But there's multiple moments in the book where people are drunk. They like, there's, like, multiple drink. Drunk driving incidents.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. Yeah.
I hope that's why. I have a feeling it's just shitty writing.
I think it was just like, how could this party suck? And there's no booze.
Yeah, you're right. Like, just adding to Samantha's misery in that way.
Also at the party is Samantha's ex, Ken, and Ken's new fiance, some lady whose name I don't remember.
Shelly.
Again, invited for some reason.
For some reason. Yeah, they never establish how Ken came to be at this particular party.
And then after we kind of establish the characters and where we are, we get like a Faulkner-style narrator shift, which I found really lovely. Like,
I actually thought that was cool. That was the cool literary device of this book, is every chapter you're hearing from a different narrator.
Yes.
But sometimes not.
Sometimes not. Sometimes it's a chapter and you're on the same narrator. You're like, why? Why this new chapter?
Which I also say about Faulkner. As A Lay Dying is chaos.
Do we need to hear from the baby? Like, why are we doing this?
I would like to call one of the characters Rose of Sharn, and I think I'm going to start doing that. And you want to know who I mean?
So, like, when she's having this interaction, she's talking to her ex, Ken, and this guy comes up and, like, tries to sweep her off her feet to be like, she's with me, you know, you don't have to be intimidated or like you don't have to feel freaked out and alone, I'm with you. And so they immediately have this like romantic connection. This is Reese. And so the two of them are
more than that though, like Reese comes over to save her from an awkward conversation by kissing her right on the mouth, this woman he's never met.
Yeah.
And the description of her turning around and seeing him, like she like turns around and sees his chest and then like looks up and sees like his chin or something. Like it's like the long scan up him where she's just she's ready to kiss him immediately.
Yeah, and then she like scans up and is like, oh, there's a man attached to this chest. Okay, I'll have sex with him.
I think there's just 7 minutes of silence in that part that we don't read about. You know what I mean? Where she's scanning him. It's just like a really long time.
So should I say something?
There are like several moments in the book where it was like clearly like you get like 2 pages of someone's mental monologue while they're in the middle of a conversation or something, where it's like, are these people just total idiots just staring?
But I love that the monologue in the head of the guys is always like, man, I really love Samantha. Not just in a sexual way. Yeah, she's hot, but like, I really like her brain, her personality. And it's like, you've not talked at all.
Everybody falls in love in the course of truly 45 minutes.
Right?
Yeah.
Reese finds out that Ken was like somewhat abusive and he's like, I'm gonna kill him, you know. He like immediately gets this, it's just a very toxic masculinity situation all around.
I will say that, but you know, while we're digging in, you just dropped into this book is that Ken, her boyfriend, used to beat her up. I hate that writing so much.
Well,
that's
also
the worst writing.
In the middle, like skipping ahead, when they're all having a three-way, her and these two guys, they drop that these two guys were in the foster care system together. Like there's so many hard details that are just like thrown into the
middle. That's why they're so close.
Well, they do. They talk about that. They're like, we're basically brothers, but more than that, best friends. And then they're like...
And more than that?
Brothers.
So after this first meeting, there's a whole thing where she's like glad that this guy saved her, and then they go, and she's like they're gonna hook up, and then she falls asleep. But then she goes in the hot tub.
She falls asleep for 5 hours.
They go to the garage. Reese and Samantha, the first man that she meets with the chest, and make out hardcore on the hood. I think of Shelley's Mercedes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And. Afterward, they get interrupted, and Samantha does go upstairs to her bedroom and falls asleep for five hours.
Which so, in the timeline, what are we thinking? Maybe this all happened from like 11 to 4 a.m.?
I don't know, because Reese and Gavin are still up. I think it's like 4 in the afternoon. In my head, it happened. It was like 4.
Someone just looks outside and is like, oh my God.
I've done that. I've, once in a while, you know, if it's Saturday, it's like, ooh, I could use a nap. I'm just going to go to sleep for 30 minutes. And then I wake up and it's 9:30. No one.
I think I am not great at taking naps. So it's just, it feels like maybe there's something wrong with her to wake up 5 hours later.
What an awful guest at this party she's being.
Yeah.
Awful guest, maybe. And then also, like, no one looked for her. She was gone for 5 hours.
I don't think anyone cares she's there. I mean, it's really dark.
It does sound like a huge party.
Also,
if these two guys got an invitation,
there are 200 people at this night before Thanksgiving party
to see her stepmom's slideshow about Greece.
Yeah.
But I guess my question, too, is why are they staying over?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess this is what, where are we thinking? Upstate New York?
So they're probably like 2 bedrooms tops. Like this, unless there's a huge mansion, she's given the only available real estate at a family gathering to these two guys.
To two guys who are trying to sell her son an app.
Yeah.
And have no other really real relationship with him. They do over and over say that Martin is a douchebag.
And he wants to have sex with his stepsister. That is like the guys that's have met him and they were like, yeah, in the 5 minutes we talk with him, he's made it clear he wants to have sex with Samantha. That's like all he's gotten out while they're trying to have an app transaction. I know. So then the sex really kicks in. I mean, this is when the book like really takes off.
Yes.
She goes to the hot tub because she says, what is the quote? It's like she wakes up from her nap and it's like, fuck yeah, hot tub or something like that. Like,
lady, you've been asleep at a party for 5 hours and now you're just going to go to the hot tub.
So then when she goes in, she's like, I'm going to have sex with this man I find in the hot tub and assumes it's the guy who kissed her. But then she realizes like, midway through a deep makeup.
A little too late.
I'm
confused as to what that like, was he in the hot tub faced away from her and he just sort of looks like, I'm assuming these dudes are twins, but one has a beard and different color eyes.
That's pretty much how it's explained. They have the same shoulders and chest, mm-hmm. but one has a beard, but Gavin has a beard.
And then it's this classic scenario where you're like kind of having sex with someone and you realize halfway through that's not who you thought they were, so like you don't get off.
Classic scenario.
Like, everyone here is just going for it, really not having any discretion.
I was a little creeped out by, like, she comes, surprises this guy with the kiss, right? And then he won't let go of her when she realizes it's...
She sits down in his lap and is kissing him. And she keeps trying to get up, and he's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You fucking creep.
It was weird.
Oh, and we also just glossed over the fact that, like, as in the garage, as, like, Reese is making out with Samantha, his first thought is like, oh, man, Gavin would love her.
Yes.
God. That's the first thing that he says.
You're right.
He's making out with this woman he just met and keeps thinking about how much his best friend, but more than that, brother, would love this redhead that he met 5 minutes ago at a party.
That's right. And they make it clear. He's like, we've never shared a woman before. Sure, we've dated the same woman at the same time, but we've never had a three-way. Like, that's already established. This is not normal, and this woman is so hot that all the rules are thrown out the window.
They keep talking about how they've never been happy. They've never really been happy. And now, tonight, they're happy for the first time in their lives.
First time ever.
So then, in this hot tub, so she's actually with Gavin, and then there's like this whole sort of gray area situation, I would say, maybe not so gray. And then Reese comes in, and the three of them, this is like our first three-way of many in the book. And so they have a three-way in the hot tub right off the bat.
And they get into it with no awkwardness.
No.
Gavin is making out with this girl who has mistaken him for someone else and he won't let her go away.
Yeah.
Then Reese, his best friend, comes out to the hot tub and says, like, "Ooh, I see you like my friend." And then right away, everyone's down.
And they all know where to put their bodies and all have fun. Yeah. And there's no question of how we're
There's not even a conversation of it. Reese and Gavin, who are basically brothers, nod at each other, like make eye contact and nod at each other.
Yes.
And then was like, oh, in that nod, we've communicated our relationship will now include having sex with people at the same time.
I was just saying, they also very clearly state, like, several times throughout the book that they're like, Samantha's like, "I've never done this before." They're both like, "We've gotten close once, but we've never done this before." And they just jump.
They just
right
in.
Straight into it.
And does he... Okay, I'm confused about the mechanics of where he is in the hot tub. Is he underwater?
I was wondering about that too.
They don't specify, but then later on they're like, "Oh, it's getting cold," and we pop back in the hot tub. So my thought is, do they like on get the onto the lip of the hot tub right there, and she's like sitting here?
But if it's like an above ground pool situation, that's like a very narrow rim. Like, where are we here? What I needed, like, the visual.
And I hope it's an above ground pool situation, because if it's a raised hot tub, then you're sitting on this like rounded, wet, molded plastic.
I know.
But maybe that makes it easier because there's like the little steps to get up to the hot tub, so somebody can be like kneeling on the steps.
That actually I like. That does make it easier.
Now, I may have to tell you from personal experience or not, you can get a UTI from having sex in a hot tub. It's a very dangerous scenario. I also got cellulitis, a bacterial infection, a few weeks ago from a spa, potentially the massage or the hot tub. Ooh. I just want to put it out there to the viewers. Don't have sex in a hot tub. I think especially if you have stuff that goes in your anatomy, you're going to get a lot of bacteria in there. So that's a PSA.
Are we sharing personal stories now?
Please.
I was so vulnerable.
Sure. There's the first time. No, not the first time. The first time I jacked off with this one particular guy in freshman year of high school.
Uh-huh.
It was at a hot tub. And so if you're a teen looking to... have a first gay experience, I actually recommend hot tubs very, very highly.
Wow.
Because you're wearing basically nothing. You're so, you know, close together. It's usually dark outside. It's usually late at night. You're both 14. I realized I was setting up a scenario when I have to remind myself.
Yikes.
No, children. And so I remember I was at a person's house, won't say their name, Marie.
It sounds like you're saying Marie's house.
No, Marie and I only met each other a couple years ago, and Marie reminds us before we get started not to say first and last names.
Gotcha.
So I won't say this person's first and last name, although I literally almost did to be funny. I almost said it just now to be funny, and I realized that would just make everyone's life hard. But I was at this person's house, and their parents, you know, went up to bed. And we were out in the hot tub. And it was very much a situation of me sort of manipulating things. Like, "I don't have a bathing suit. Should we just get in naked?" What a little fucking creep I was. God damn it. Anyway.
God, you were such a Reese.
I was a real Reese. I was a real Reese in this situation.
Was it at Gavin's house?
Yeah, it was at Lynn's Thanksgiving.
No. No. But I'm going to tell you off air why that's funny.
Okay.
I can imagine.
Sure.
Anyone else have really personal sexual experiences?
I mean...
You don't have to.
I think I'm okay.
Okay, sure, just checking. Fine. Anytime you want to, you know.
Yeah. I'll marinate on it.
Whenever you want to regret saying something.
Like the bacteria in your flesh after you've been in a hot tub, which is really like a below boiling bacteria pool.
Yeah, it's the perfect temperature for bacteria to grow.
Oh, 100%. And that thing is never cleaned, and then people are having sex in it. So there you go, as we've seen here. So then there's like this whole, we have like a very, did you guys find this scene like steamy and exciting? And
there was one part that I liked that I thought was hot. There's it's when she talks about when she's naked in front of him for the first time, there is something very hot about being seen naked by a group of people for the first time.
And they're like, they can't deal with how hot you are. They're like exploding at her sight.
Yes, that is hot.
but you don't need it.
Oh God, boy, I really am just getting to the personal stuff. No, more what's hot to me is having everyone looking at me.
Oh, interesting.
I'm less concerned about what they're feeling and more about getting their attention.
Okay. Everybody, look at me.
Well, that is basically in like sexual functionality, there's like people that are more responsive. So that is like an actual biological wiring some people have, where it's like being looked at or being, you know, acted upon is more sexually arousing than like looking.
I'm one of them, and I think I've based my whole career on that fact. That's not only just in terms of sex, just in life.
Everything.
Really ought to be the focus of things.
I love that.
I think there's something to be said, too, for like, you know, like you're naked in front of me and this is exactly what like I pictured and imagined and I wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you are exactly what I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
Because like, they keep saying that over and over again. Like your body is perfect.
Yeah. They love her red hair, her emerald eyes, her tiny shoulders. They can't get enough.
Her tiny shoulders.
They love it. And her pinstripe suit sort of like hitting the back of her thigh at the right place.
Her pinstripe suit?
I mean, her skirt. Oh. Sorry. She's wearing a zoot suit the entire time.
I think that would actually be, I think, super cool, because one of the things that bums me out is that these people are all so vanilla. Like, they're all so regular. Like, it's like, yeah, you're... these three beautiful people were attracted to each other, of course.
But they have so much backstory. The foster care system, you guys.
Grant, yeah. She has red hair.
That's true.
There was a line I want to point out, before, just don't want to forget about it, is when they're about to have the threesome in the hot tub, and they're like, she's like, what are we doing? And someone said something like, whatever you want. And I forget what the first part of the line is, but the second part of the line is, and nothing you don't.
Oh,
in this
my
like
God,
kind
perfect.
Of like checking in way, but also one of them maybe just held her against her on his lap in the hot tub.
That's very true. Like I think that line is sort of the writer saying, okay, well now I have carte blanche. We've like established the rules. And also it's really immediately established these guys are like, I want this to be forever. Mm. They're so into it the second it starts. They're just like, this is my family. Thanksgiving alone, never again. I have Samantha.
And that to me feels a little bit sex negative of like, hey, you're allowed to just have a three-way with these people and not have it be because you're in love with them forever. It can also just be a fun thing you did one night. That's okay.
I did find that strange. Yeah, I would actually prefer it just be like, whoa, this is wild. I'll never see them again. But they like immediately form a family.
Like, right? It's like, they do. And they do. Like, skipping ahead to the end, they all move in together and start a business.
They immediately do that.
They do that night.
They do that.
And I like, as it turns out, not only is she a good fuck, she's a good hacker, too.
She can really program.
Hell of a developer.
Yeah.
Great at developing. So then, like, what's funny here is that the stakes, there's no tension really in the story, I feel, but the stakes are still about the app. And so, like, her ex-pen is like, he comes up and plants a seed. He's like, they're just here to sell an app. They don't care about you.
And this guy is there at maybe 2 in the morning.
Or 4 p.m. Yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah. No idea what time it is, but he's come back drunk. Because he's presumably so jealous that she was kissing a guy when she met him and his fiance.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah, Ken's drunk. Then he plants a seed and then he drives drunk away, which is like, okay, no one's going to address that.
Well, but also, but in between, Gavin and Reese beat the shit out of him.
Oh,
yeah. They beat the shit out of him.
The amount of times these dudes see a red mist in this book.
Yeah, from one of their points of view, when Ken comes up, immediately I started seeing red.
To be fair, I did warn him, and it hits him right in the mouth.
And the description of the beating is very similar to the description of the sex.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Which is really a wreck,
well,
guys.
Well, I think maybe they're just trying to cover all bases. They're like, well, maybe somebody's going to be into this part of it. And so they're, like, very descriptive.
That's, there's, like, maybe this is what we're about. Like, you know, this is an overview of human sexuality.
Yeah.
What's weird, too, is so, like, then they, obviously, we're skipping right ahead to, like, the next sexual experience. And there's, like, a tonguing of her butthole, which they call a ring. Is this a term?
Yeah, they didn't... they sort of talked around the fact that he was eating her ass.
Yeah, for he all was.
It's like, and then he touched that spot, and I lit up like a
Christmas
I can't
tree.
Remember exactly.
I remember reading this part and then like being confused for a second because someone called Martin an asshole.
I wrote that in my notes. They go on and on about her butthole and all this stuff. And then the next sentence is asshole about a mean person. I was like, wait, I thought we were enjoying assholes.
Martin's asshole is there suddenly?
that really upset me.
And it was so, like they're staying in the basement guest room.
Uh-huh.
These two brother twins or whatever. and there's this tension of like she just found out about the app from her drunk ex who should have no reason to know that that would be an issue after he got the shit beaten out of him and his car destroyed by these two monsters to yell back at
beasts.
This like they're only here for the app, and she has immediately forgiven them. Like it's not like you would think like there would be a certain amount of tension and like trying to win each other back, you know.
I didn't understand why that would be a problem for her, because like of course there's some reason they're here. Yes. They're not here to meet you. They have no idea who you were
maybe
when the night started.
But also like the relationship with Lynn, like I want to know Lynn's sort of telling of the story. We never got the Lynn perspective.
Oh, I'd love a chapter if while they're out fucking in her hot tub
she looks out the window.
You're like, what are those strangers doing? Yeah. I invited those three people specifically to be nice, and now they're fucking all
they're
together.
Ruining my hot tub.
Well, my question is, I really need to know the housing layout here, because they spend a lot of time like these are not quiet.
What do you
people.
Think it was? If you had to design this house, what's the walk me through it?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm picturing a split level.
Sure.
So it's like not a huge house, but also like not tiny. Maybe like four bedrooms. There was at one point, I guess, four people who lived
there'd
here.
There'd have to be. Yeah. We've met three of them.
Yeah. And there's a hot tub around the corner. We're somewhere like upstate New York. So I'm guessing it's like the stairs that kind of go into like a basement, but you can still see the backyard through the basement. Like you can walk into the backyard.
Completely with you.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing the hot tub just behind a tool shed, because I don't know how else it wouldn't be seen from the house. Like,
yeah.
There has to be
must
something
be.
That it's hidden from, unless it's way the hell far out.
I'm imagining a sprawling mansion.
That's the only way, really, it makes sense to have so many strangers yes. in your home.
Also, where's her dad? Right?
Good
yeah,
question.
They don't bring
did he die or something?
Oh, I think he did die. Oh. They bring that up really quickly. I had to go right. back. Yeah. He died.
In the list of her tragedies.
Yes. It was yeah. beneath all the other ones.
Oh, that was the other thing as they were kind of like setting up these characters when he first, when Reese first meets Samantha, and he's like, I should have known that this was Martin's stepsister because of her red hair and how easily that she knew the way to the garage. Why would her having red hair have anything to do with yeah. knowing that? That was Martin's stepsister.
Yeah,
they wouldn't look
these two
anything.
People that aren't related.
Not
yeah, exactly.
Related.
And why would they
point.
Have the last same last name?
Oh,
yeah.
Just bringing it up.
Wow.
I want answers.
I hate that we have to poke holes in this beautiful book.
That is a shame.
It's really
yeah.
a shame.
Oh, I don't have it. The quote in front of me, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up my favorite quote between the hot tub and her showing up at the basement guest room. There's kind of you get Gavin's perspective on for the first time post hot tub fucking, and he's talking about how it just felt right to have his best friend there.
Yeah.
And he's talking about like, you know, any other guy, if I saw any other guy kissing, you know, this sweet angel or whatever, I'd be mad. But I mean, it's Reese. And the like ellipses, it's Reese, really got me.
It's so good. Funny. Yeah, the relationship is so fascinating. I like you said, it's just how seamlessly and unawkwardly and in love they all are in this moment. They've just like entered this, no questions asked. Logistics would be so hard to manage.
Three ways in general, you spend most of the time trying to figure out, how do I get to the other side of this person without it being a whole thing, without having to fully get up out of bed and walk around to the other side of the bed, and never. never any of that. If this was a realistic depiction of a three-way, at one point one of them would talk about how tired their elbow is getting of being propped up on it, trying to get involved for 20 minutes and just not having it not happen.
Also, like, I think with a three-way with a woman involved, there's a lot of pounding of her privates that I don't think is... at all. At some points, I was like, this seems really painful. There's a lot going on in there.
They fuck her in the ass, and she's never been fucked
for the
in
first
the
time.
Ass.
Just
for the first time, with no mention of lube at all.
And she's like, this is great. And that's like, that's it.
And she's just like, yeah, great. Yeah, there's a half a page of setup. And
she's
then,
just like, a little bit of play, and then it's in immediately,
she's
and it's fine. There's
getting
no
fucked
way.
From both ends
no
all
fucking
at once.
Way.
Her ring
no.
is loving it.
So they're down in that second sex scene.
Yeah, they go into, she like goes into their room, into this one of the million guest rooms in the house. Mm-hmm. And there's another sex scene with the butt stuff. So that one again, like just jumping right into it. And I feel like here they're really starting to feel like a family. They're really starting to gel. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like, this is forever.
They keep saying that.
I know.
They keep saying that as they're saying, as she screams into my mouth.
That made me laugh so much.
But every character has that perspective on it. It's like one of those buzzwords that, like, I think that maybe it's a writing issue, but it is one of those things where, like, every character has the same euphemisms that they use
yeah.
right.
for things. Everyone talks like the same character. Yeah, it's like kind of one character.
Oh, they all the same
it's
exact
It's the author.
Voice. Yeah.
I was a little stoned when I was reading this book, and I truly laughed out loud when they talked about her screaming into Reese's mouth.
Having
it's
hotter.
So funny.
Well, then also what was crazy here. So,
well, that's why Lynn never heard them. That's how we got around the mouth issue.
I was...
I feel like that would... Oh, my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Your brain would hurt.
Your brain would...
Someone screamed into her.
You vibrating my crowns.
So then it's crazy because after this sex scene, a very similar situation happens. What we had with Ken and that altercation, we now have with Martin, the stepbrother. Uh-huh. There's another drunken fight. Like yeah. a guy comes yeah. in drunk. It's the same thing again. And it's I really thought we were like,
which again, at this dry party, all these people are so fucked up. They're yeah. like, they're so drunk.
And then they like punch him. They punch Martin and we're like, we never want to work with you. Like there's a fight. And that ends, oh my God, it's like the stakes are so low because who cares? Like this, selling this algorithm to this specific person was never established as a necessary move. Like there's other options out there.
Not only that, I think to make them more desirable, it keeps coming up that Gavin and Reese are already wealthy. Like they don't have to worry about money anymore.
So there's no stakes.
Well, are they?
I didn't really remember how wealthy they were, but I just remember like after they, you know, fuck the algorithm and this the pitch, and they beat the shit out of this guy in his like mom's kitchen. he deserves it. He's being a creep and he's saying things like "step isn't blood" when he's trying to say "she's mine" about
yeah.
his stepsister.
Oh yeah.
So he deserves to get beat up. But like maybe a paragraph later, they're like. And also, it turns out everyone wanted our algorithm. We ended yeah. up selling it to someone else for three times as much.
Oh my God, I know. This epilogue is wild.
The epilogue
is so wild.
Got me laughing real hard out loud.
Yeah, so what happens in the epilogue is...
Because they drive away together. This uh-huh. is like sort of where the story we leave off. The epilogue mm-hmm. includes... I don't want to give away too much because I really want to encourage everyone to read this book. But not only do they all move into a shared working and living space in Soho, it's where they just have like sex mm-hmm. and work all the time. Mm-hmm. But they sell the app. They like make a bunch of money. And they all finally feel like they have a family. Like this is sort of... It's the happiest conclusion of any sort of erotica I think you could ever find.
Of any book
of
that's
any
ever
book.
Been written.
You know what? I forgot. I don't know if we've really talked about how much they hated Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
Everyone in this book is like, fucking Thanksgiving. The worst holiday. And has like really
my
weird
like. My favorite holiday.
It's so
yeah, my
favorite.
Yo, how does everybody feel about Thanksgiving? People are on board.
Just us.
Rate it yeah. from drought to
yeah. drought to slipping out of your chair.
I'm slipping out of my chair for Thanksgiving.
Well, I'll say, you know, I don't really have like a lot of family, and so I like to growing up with my family, but now it's like I'm always invited to friends' houses, and I find it delightful.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, I love it.
Who are these people who've never been to a Friendsgiving?
It's great.
That they have to go to Martin's mom's house.
Well, she doesn't make friends easily for some reason.
You know that's a red
she's
flag.
She's sort of a mess.
Yeah, she's awful, honestly. That's on her. But yeah, Thanksgiving rules, right?
I also wonder,
is Lynn actually like... just like a really like nice woman who's taking in all of these like orphans, and we're just hearing it from their perspective.
Well,
she's like a bitch.
They did hear her yell, and none of them spoke English.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she's a monster.
That's right. That's the only detail we have about her is that
she could
she's...
just be dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she definitely is.
Maybe she thought she was in Athens, Ohio. I'm just very
Athens, Ohio is a great city.
I guess Thanksgiving is great. Like, it's decidedly like the least sexy holiday of the major ones.
I disagree.
What do you think?
I actually think Thanksgiving is kind of a sexy holiday.
I do too.
I'm curious.
The light is usually very low, which is very important for Thanksgiving. You're usually all covered in grease from the turkey. Vic's fully on board with this because we're fully in agreement that the hottest thing about this
now, Grant
is the fat of the turkey on your hands.
Is the fat of the turkey on your small baby hands.
You're covered in grease.
I've had a Thanksgiving with Grant before, and he was covered in turkey grease somehow.
I tell you what, actually, my first Thanksgiving out here.
Oh my God!
My first Thanksgiving in L.A. Was at Trap's house, and Zach and Pat Castles were both there. And after
last names.
And after Thanksgiving, we went to Zach's house to get in the hot tub. And
what?
So this ended
about
this.
What?
This ended. This book happened with me, Pat Castles, and Zach.
Are you Madison Faye?
Look,
how did you guys not lead with this?
I didn't put it together until right now.
I didn't bring it up at first just because. I think it's fine. I was house sitting.
Oh.
But you know, it was we went to Trap's house for Thanksgiving, and then we were all leaving, and it was like do you guys want to like go to the hot
this happened.
Did you take a 5-hour nap? Like,
I took a 5-hour nap, and
we woke up in the middle of the night, and me, Zach, and Pat all got together.
Yeah, this is a true story.
This happened.
You
it was great. It was a lovely
Samantha.
Night.
Samantha, that's hilarious. Oh my God,
I'm Samantha, by the way.
And I'm Reese.
Oh my God!
Wow. So funny. You were gonna say too that Thanksgiving is sexy in your
mind. I think it is. Well, mostly because oftentimes you're like. If you are dating somebody, it is often like the first time that you're like maybe in their like childhood home, or isn't there something fun about like sleeping in somebody's 100%. Childhood bed?
That is a fully great thing.
Is that insane?
No,
creepy?
No, it's not.
I love it.
It's also like when you're like home for the holidays, like seeing all the people you went to high school with, like they're like that, like. Around Thanksgiving, there's like that weird like college like home for the first time and like super everyone's getting just hammered.
Totally.
That's true.
The night before Thanksgiving is a night you end up like you go to some you usually go to a party where you know some people. It's people you grew up with, and then you end up like maybe sleeping with someone. It's like, oh hey, we used to sleep together and now we both have our lives, but we're, you know, getting back together for tonight.
Just one night and then we go our separate ways.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I would say that I'm trying to think of what's a sexier holiday than Thanksgiving. It's not Valentine's Day.
It's too on the nose.
4th of July is actually kind of a sexy holiday because it's the middle of summer. Everything happens at night. You know, you're there for like the fireworks and
stuff.
And
you're not so full.
Yeah.
That's really the thing about Thanksgiving where you're like gonna just throw up from eating so much. Yeah. You don't really feel horny.
I need to... I need like it's like swimming. I need a full hour.
Yeah,
I will cramp up.
I guess 4th of July is like a big like watermelon. Like you do a lot of watermelon, so it's a lighter meal.
I feel like 4th of July is hard. That's hard for me just because it's like a day drunk kind of holiday. Mm. Like I feel like I'm outside a lot in the day.
Kind of it's true. You get a little faded from the sun,
and then it's like I'm like done by like 7 p.m.
I guess you know. New Year's is like classically, but I think people get too drunk.
People get too drunk and people put a lot of pressure on New Year's to make something happen.
It is sexual, but it's a sad sexual.
Yeah, it's
holiday,
like we're fucking because the ship is going down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just have to get one in before we're done.
I guess I'm hearing this argument for Thanksgiving. I'm feeling more on board about it being sexy.
Yeah, at the very least, the Thanksgiving break.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Thanksgiving holiday itself is now. Although, no, this wasn't going to be a good detail.
No, say it. Say it.
Can we tell? Can we tell
yeah. You let me know if it's important that I share this with the group. My Thanksgivings, we'd spend a lot with the O'Brien side of my family, and they wouldn't eat dinner until like 8 or 9. But
a lot of people
have dinner at like 4 in the afternoon.
But my family we were bad cooks, so everything would be delayed.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't intentional. But you do like a 2 p.m.?
I would like even like 4. I feel like if you're going to eat that much, I'm like happy to start early. And then I usually like kind of don't eat lunch, right?
For
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Because I don't think you eat all day, right? Yeah. Waiting for the meal. So.
Yeah, you're sort of picking stuff off.
You can have like a late night sandwich. You can kind of like do another little late night thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or go fuck someone you went to high school with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of options here.
There's a lot of options.
A late night meal of many kinds.
In the timeline of this story, I believe... From beginning, I think what we've established is like we're not even in Thanksgiving yet this whole entire time. Like the amount of things that happen, even into the epilogue, I think their company has been established and they are living together by the time Thanksgiving hits. Like they're not, there's so much that happens. So I don't think we get a lot of Thanksgiving in this story.
Yeah, this book happens not on Thanksgiving. It's the night before.
It is.
Well, technically the morning of.
That's true.
The twilight of Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Eve into Thanksgiving twilight.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
We also didn't talk about the hilarious jokes that the author included in this book.
Oh my Lord.
God.
Well, for example, when they get done having sex in the basement, one of the two brother twins says, I didn't think we were having stuffing until tomorrow.
And then the other guy says, I was going to make a joke about too much gravy. And that's... This line is that.
And they all laugh and go upstairs together on that line.
I always like when they include in lines of like, and they all laugh a lot. You know what I mean? When people are just like, they include letting us know that the characters in this book found what was just said very, very funny.
And now all they know about each other is that they make shitty jokes and one has a beard. No other defining characteristics of either one of those dudes.
And I guess they all have the same sense of humor. Like they all have it's like you found your tribe here.
Yeah.
Because if you're all making the same jokes and you all think you're hilarious, like, yes, please live in this Soho space together. This is meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
Gravy.
Yeah. Good and Lord. She worked for an app called Finger.
Finger.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, what did Finger do?
It was a dating app.
And I think we can fill in the gaps.
Oh, we'll fill in the gaps.
Oh, it sounds like that's what you're on the app for, is to get those gaps filled.
Oh,
we have
baby.
The same sense of humor as the boys.
Oh, I didn't think we were having stuffing until Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
I personally loved this book. I thought it was super fun.
You know, I walked into it with a bad attitude about it, but now I kinda like it.
Did you have a favorite sex scene? And that's a question for the group. Which of the sexes?
Probably
the
when
best?
They were destroying that guy's car.
smashes the windshield.
Just like taking a step back and just remembering that they have just been fucking in a hot tub and they're just destroying a Porsche of a drunk man. Like they were trying to be so discreet earlier and they're just throwing rocks at a car.
That's right. At a stranger's house who's asleep, who's going to come out tomorrow and be like, what happened? Oh, those two giants who are at my party beat the shit out of a Porsche and then left.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's crazy. They spend so much time talking about her hair. Like, that's such a huge part of it.
I know she has hair. I know she has little shoulders. And that's
green
all.
Green hair,
she has
little
green eyes.
Shoulders, green eyes.
Physically, what we know about the guys is, like, chest on one and beard on the other, right? We don't really know much else
about
the guys.
I thought their physical stature was the same, just because, like, she saw one and thought it was the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the beard.
We do have another piece of... of physical description, which is that when Reese gets a boner and he pulls it out for the first time, it smacks him in the abs. It smacks him right in the abs, which is very funny.
To have that much torque?
Well, to have that much torque. It's so funny to me that it just like slaps him. It's like, that is, now look, that's a kind of erection. Everyone's penis is their own penis. That's fine. But it's really silly if it just smacks you when you take it out and makes a smacking noise.
I like that detail because it felt real.
It's like, yeah. Oh, this is sort of a feature of this person.
Yeah. That's so funny. Mm-hmm.
It would be, again, viewer, your boner can be however it is and everyone's wonderful. It'd be hard to have sex with a boner that you'd have to keep like pointing it down all the time.
Oh, so we're thinking that's like, it wasn't just like a reflexive thing. Its natural state is up against.
I would have to imagine, because otherwise that means it's, maybe not. Hey, maybe you're right.
Maybe we pulled the underwear down so quickly that it went like down up really
fast. That's probably it.
Can't you get a surgery? There's some kind of like muscle that when you get an erection, it determines, how how high it goes. So there's like, you can like
use
cut.
Use the mic as that.
So like, I think high? You can like get one snipped. If you get a.
There's a surgery you can get for an enlargement where there's a ligament you can get cut.
So maybe he has super tight ligaments, needs to stretch more. He needs to work it out.
What it sounds like to me.
How much CrossFit would you have to do?
It's just this poor guy and his.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, it worked out. Everyone's so happy in the end of this book.
Yeah.
I think my favorite sex scene may have been the 30-minute. Does she know she's having sex with the wrong person? Is this a completely consensual situation? What is happening? Freak out that I had when reading the book of like, am I supposed to be reading this? Mm-hmm. That was for me personally a highlight.
Also like that. I also thought that was a bit of a highlight. Mostly because there wasn't any sort of weird friendship politics that I had to navigate that everyone else seemed indifferent to.
Oh my God, that's the erotica of friendship with no jealousy. That's sort of the fantasy I'm entering into. It's just like a beautiful friendship where we all share and want good things for each other. That's really like, I could get into that.
I would say maybe my favorite part is when she goes up to her room and she's like maybe kind of getting into it herself, and then she hears her stepmom's voice and falls asleep.
For 5 hours. Remember
that. Yeah, she was about to start masturbating and then fell asleep for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And who among us hasn't been there?
I mean, it felt real.
That is, I have been like, fuck it, never mind.
Go on.
That's my reaction. It's like, should I jack off until I come? No, never mind. No. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I won't even bother turning off the lights or moving my phone out of my bed. Yeah.
And that's Thanksgiving.
And that's how I spend Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, baby.
Another one of my favorite parts is that a couple of times the guys are described as wearing wet boxers. Like in the basement sex scene.
Like it's like a hot thing, not just really
Yeah, not
gross.
Just like gross as hell.
You know, going back to this whole anatomy lesson available in this book, take that thing off, shower, clean up. There were so many sex scenes in here too where they had hot tub grossness on them and then they had re-entered each other and stuff. It's like, no, you gotta be clean.
At least change your boxers.
Or
like
dry
if
them
you
up.
Wore them into the hot tub, take them up. You've already seen each other naked. You can just lose the boxers.
Yeah, because I guess that's it, right? Is this the idea of like they're dripping wet so you can like see everything, but then we immediately see everything. So what illusion are we playing
and
to?
Wet boxers. I could see how in one's fantasy that might be appealing, but in reality, they'd just be sort of like droopy and loose and
or
sort
like
of like
soggy.
Oh, we're talking like traditional like boxers that go down to
because otherwise I feel like she'd specify boxer
like a
briefs.
Board short.
I don't know. I feel like she could have.
He could have been. That could have been anything. Now, did it feel bi to anybody else? Is that me projecting?
They're very close friends to the point where I was like, they're kind of in love.
Yeah.
Right?
But
I thought they should have gone in harder on just being like, we are sexually attracted to each other because I felt like it was there, but they weren't saying it.
They were so immediately so comfortable just laying in the bed together and you know, all three of them laying in a pile. Which is great, but yes, say so.
Yeah, it felt like the author was clearly making a point, like, they are not bi. This is unusual.
And I agree.
Like, no, this can be, this is just them. That's all right.
Yeah, that would have been, like, that. What a great chapter that would have been of, like, if she is upstairs taking a shower, then it's like, what about the two of us? Should the two of us get into this?
And then they're getting into it, and then she walks in like, mind if I join?
That would be great. Yeah. And, to know that she's cool with it, and then and then all of a sudden, then like, oh, he's fucking her, and he's sucking the other one's cock.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I'm there, and she leaves, and then everyone just fucks me.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That would be a great, I'd love to see that rewrite.
Wouldn't that be a good book?
That's the epilogue. I do think, yeah, like for a book that in some ways is like so out there with sex, it does hold certain outdated sexuality ideas very much like throughout.
Yeah.
That is shocking. That is a good point.
It did feel like it was missing from the book. Like it felt absent.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of like the three big like sex scenes in the book are like the garage thing where it's like they don't actually have sex. They like are leading up to it. Then the hot tub and then in this basement bedroom. It felt like there should be one with the, you know, these guys have been through a lot together.
This and tonight especially. Like, should we maybe talk for a quick second about what we're going to be like going forward?
I mean, it was so clearly like I would imagine the author's specific fantasy of like, you know, what would it be like to be Samantha and have these two guys just want you? Mm. Like even regardless of sexuality and where everyone is, it's like these two guys want me. Like, that's the fantasy.
Yeah. Maybe she was like that. She didn't want to be jealous of those guys.
Right, right, right.
Ooh, yeah, because that would bring up how revealing should I be right here? I've slept with guy-girl couples before, and it's gone badly when there hasn't been some discussion before of what do you two want? Because I don't want to step on any kind of toes and make anybody super jealous. So what are we going to do? None of the discussion that leads to good three ways happened. So I'm shocked that it went well. That never, ever happens.
I'd imagine, you have to have a lot of discussions beforehand. That's not the kind of thing you can just do in a hot tub on a whim.
It ends up getting complicated.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, but it's better.
Especially in that last portion where it's the double penetration. It's like there's no way that's going as smoothly as it did.
No.
And without them touching each other ever. Because they make such a good point of never touch.
That would
at
be
any
so
point.
Hot if the guys were touching and they never touch.
So when you're double penetrating someone, your cock is rubbing up against another cock.
At least the balls are touching.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
not
they're
a
both.
Lot of real
if you're in,
estate.
If you're in other, if you're if someone's in the ass and someone's in the vagina, you're at least your fucking big full balls are dragging on each other's.
Yeah,
and that's hot. But say so, but then that's like, oh, it's like, oh shit, his balls felt great against my balls, or not, or sometimes it doesn't, and it's clangy, and it's sort of like this. Sort of sucks.
And then on top of all these logistics, in the end, this beautiful ending is that they're living and working together. Like, okay, dating someone you work with, having sex with someone you work with, every single contentious relationship in your life, and that's the happy ending, is that they get this, like, I'm going to say I feel a little codependent in the end. It's like you need your own space. You can't always be having sex, working, and talking with the same people. Have your own life.
I agree.
Yeah.
What boring people you must be.
Yes.
To be able to make this work.
Like, get a hobby, you know?
Well, Samantha doesn't have anything of her own. It's like she was at this Thanksgiving and kind of come, like she's being told what to do by these two men. And then the conclusion is, oh, now I do what these two guys that I'm with do, which is I'm like a coder now.
Yeah.
Like she has no aspirations or goals outside of them other than, I guess, working at this app.
Prism. I know. I'm like, get, you know, make some friends, you know?
Maybe she likes horseback riding.
I mean,
Maybe.
There just wasn't enough room in the 70 pages of this book.
Real lean. Yeah. I mean, you know, lean storytelling. That's what I really like about it. Yeah. I guess we're about wrapping up. Real quick, does everyone think they're a Gavin or a Reese?
Ooh. I don't the personalities know the difference distinct. Between
yeah. You know what? To be honest, I think I'm more of a Reese.
Wow.
I buy that.
I think Gavin, his first impression is a little more forceful. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can't grow a beard, so mm-hmm. by default, I think I'm a Reese.
You're Reese.
Yeah.
I think I'm a Lynn, straight up.
I kind of am, too.
Right? I never know what's going on.
I host a party and just want to tell people about my vacation.
And then they go have their own fun, and I'm upset because, like, I'm not part of it. But also, I don't know. I don't want to know. And I'm a buzzkill. Okay.
I'm Shelly.
You're the new girlfriend, fiance of Ken.
I don't know what's going on. And then I find out and I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Shelly's
when did this happen? Shelly's cool.
Yeah,
I can
she
tell.
She doesn't know.
I mean, does she know that they were cheating? You know?
They kind of were like, there's no way she didn't know. I think maybe she didn't know. But if I can't be Shelly... Maybe Reese.
Yeah.
I buy. Yeah, I sure. Guess. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm not. I also can't grow a beard. There's no way.
That's really the decider. That's the only kind of personality we have, you know.
But what I'll say is a lot, I'll be turned around and people will be like, Karen. And it's not. And then I turn around and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was looking for, you know, like somebody else. So
oh,
I can
happens
be a Gavin
a lot?
In that
I was
sense.
Looking for Karen Michalis.
Yeah, Karen Michaelis.
There it is. So, with that, thank you all for joining us on the Erotic Book Club. I do hope that we tended this garden particularly well. Wait!
We gotta rate it, right?
We gotta rate it, yeah. So everyone rate this book on a scale of desert to slipping out of my chair.
Oh, mm-hmm. What is... I guess I'm... my chair needs to be cleaned, but I'm not quite slipping out of my chair. Right?
It's going to smell in a couple of days.
Like, there was, you know, like, there are some things that could have made it slipping out of my chair, but I think it's just not all the way there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my chair doesn't necessarily need a bleach. It just needs maybe, like, a paper towel and some, you know, organic spray. Like, it's not like, okay, this chair needs to be burned. It's just, like, just a little cleanup wouldn't hurt.
Nick?
Yeah, so I'll say, like, I was at the Shamu show, but I wasn't in the splash zone. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, I was
it's just
like,
sort of a few rows back.
It's humid from the salt water.
Yeah, yeah. It's and, you know, maybe every once in a while there's like, you get like a, like, you know you're there. If you closed your eyes, there'd maybe be like, the whale like squirts at you a little bit.
Are you wearing a poncho?
No. I'm too far back for a poncho.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Who wants to spend the money at
Who
that point?
Who wants to spend the money on it? Yeah.
I'm slipping out of my chair, but because I'm covered in turkey grease.
Which I've is been, the real turn on.
That's the real hot part. Well, next episode of the Erotic Book Club, we'll cover The Barely Tamed Grizzly by Jennifer Snow.
Jenica Snow.
Whoop. Sorry, Marie. If you would like to read along, please catch up with that. Hopefully, you're subscribed to Dropout, College Humor's subscription service where you can get this early and get all sorts of other content and chat with the cast in the exclusive Dropout Discord. And if you're not and you're watching this on CH2, you're a fucking cheapskate and media's dying around you while you do nothing to change that. Thank you all for listening to the Erotic Book Club. Please join Jess and Reka when they are back. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.